ท่านแก่เราเราทั้งหลายจะรู้จักพระธรรมทัยของพระองค์ชัดแจ้งยิ่งขึ้นเจ้าค่ะให้พระองค์ประทานความเข้าใจฝ่ายวิญญาณแก่เราทั้งหลายทั้งหลายต้องการรู้จักพระทัยของพระองค์ว่าพระองค์ปรารถนาที่จะได้รับผู้นำสกาแท้พระองค์เจ้าค่ะโดยอาศัยการประชุมพระคำของพระองค์เช่นนี้ได้เปิดเผยแก่เราเราจะได้เข้าใจมากยิ่งขึ้นงานใจที่นอบน้อมของพระองค์ให้แก่เราทั้งหลายต้องรับพระคำของพระองค์และนำไปเป็นป้าป้าปฏิบัติในการดำเนินชีวิตของเราให้ประสบการณ์ถึงพระคำของพระองค์ทุกๆวันไว้พอพระคำของพระองค์ในค่ำคืนวันนี
้พวกสั่งสอนเราทั้งหลายไปคนน้ำมันชโลมของพระองค์สั่งสอนเราทั้งหลายได้รู้จักกับพระองค์มากยิ่งขึ้นเราไม่ปรารถนาที่จะใช้จิตวิญญาณความสามารถของเรามารู้จักกับพระองค์แต่ว่าเราต้องการการเปิดเผยซึ่งมาจากพระองค์พระวิญญาณนั้นเป็นความจริงที่เปิดเผยแก่เราทั้งหลายมากยิ่งขึ้นโอ้จงการเมตตาความรักทั้งหลายในค่ำคืนวันนี
้ขอพระเยซูเมื่อนี้ด้วยพระชนม
Yes, Lord, may you speak to us. Enlighten us and give us revelation that we may see your heart's desire. Amen. This evening we read a lot of verses. They're all in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Why do we have to read so many verses? In particular, this chapter. Because it shows us that in God's heart, He pays so much attention to Jerusalem several times, over and over again. He repeated it. When you read these verses, there's no way for you not to touch this point. Why? Because God knows that we people all go our own way. Each one goes his own way. You do whatever you please. Whatever I want to do, I just go ahead and do it. We fallen people all have this sickness. We like to be free, democratic, human rights. Especially today. Whatever I like to do, I just go ahead and do it. I like that. You like that, you go and do that. And I like this, so I go do this. Each one does what is right in his own eyes. I repeat, that is presumptuous. Presumption is a sin. I'm really afraid of this sin. Because Psalm 19 shows us, he says, keep your servant from being presumptuous. Keep back a servant also from presumptuous sins. We all have this problem. We all have a stiff neck. We're disobedient. That is why, before entering into the good land, God already told them many times in a serious way, do not offer up sacrifices loosely. That's what the Gentiles do. They each had their own gods. They had their own way of worship. You like to do this? I like to do that. Isn't this the case today? Look at the situation, the condition of the Christians today. Even our own condition is like this. Why should I listen to you? Why should you listen to me? If I listen to you, I'm wrong. If you listen to me, I'm wrong too. Why don't we want to listen to him? Don't you know his will? You think God has 12 wills and he has a will for each tribe? Is our God like this? Our God is not like this. There are 12 tribes. Now, if each tribe were to go do what they wanted to do, let's not say that there are only 12 places. Within each tribe, they will be divided and subdivided. There will be maybe 1,200 different places. 1,200 is still too few. There might be 120,000. They're split in many ways. They're split many, many ways. Isn't this the case? Even in the church, you do your thing and I do my thing. I don't want to listen to you. I'm free. It's not a matter of listening to whom, but we have to hear him. Tell me, is it easy to listen to him? No. Because we people are too capable. We're smarter than God. We're smarter than God. Aren't you smarter than God? If you're not smarter than God, how come you have so many opinions? You have so many opinions, you're so opinionated. God would say, do it like this, and you say, why? God says, He only chose one place, that's a place of his choice, and you ask why? I'd say, oh, it's not convenient. Oh God, you are prejudiced. Why did you choose Jerusalem? So it's really convenient for Judah and Benjamin. I live so far away, I still have to go there, but they live right next door to me. God, that's not fair. Oh, I'm smarter than God. I'm truly smarter than God. And you're even smarter than I am. You have your Thai way of thinking. Right, brothers and sisters? Aren't we like this? Ask yourself. Are you a person who listens to God? Are you one that submits to God? When our Lord Jesus came to this earth, there was not one thing that he did that was according to his own opinion. It was not so that he wanted to hear other people's opinions, but he wanted to fully obey what God said. God's choice has to do with his worship. Do not think that, oh, worship. Why should I go to a certain place? And what are you going to say? It's not your choice and it's not my choice. Today, do you have a choice? If I like it, I just stay home and meet at home. Once I heard a brother say, I worship at home. Once I turn on the TV, I can listen to a message in bed. And then I can listen to the music. I see the performance. Why should I go over to your place to have a meeting? I can sleep until 10 o'clock. I said, oh. I had nothing to say. I don't know how to answer him. Through the television, you want to bring the worship into your bedroom. It's so convenient. To offer sacrifices? Can you tell me, is that good? As long as I'm in spirit, it's okay. What are you going to say? Lord Jesus. Worshipping our Father is not that simple. You have to pay attention. When you get into the good land, you shall not worship the Lord your God like the heathen. What was the way? Each one had their own God. You say, we don't have one. Is it true? You have your concept towards God. You think your God says it's okay. It's right, it's okay. And I thought that my Lord told me that this is right, the way I do it. So you have your God and I have my God. The God that you know tells you to worship by dancing. Isn't it so? This is your concept of God. Lord Jesus. Do not think that this passage in the Bible has nothing to do with us today. Why should I worship together with you? I worship myself. Does God want your individual worship? How should we worship? God gave his people a very clear way how to worship him. It's serious. You have to remember, you want to worship God? Then you have to worship him fully according to the way that he prescribed. Do not think that if you worship him in any way, he will also accept you any way. You have to clearly understand How God wants you to worship Him. In that day when our Lord comes back, you will then, if you would realize only then that you were wrong, then it's too late. That is why God's word tells us that He chose Jerusalem. That's a place that God chose for His worship. He wanted His name to dwell there. You have no right to change that. It's His choice. It's not your choice, and it's not my choice. So, Jerusalem, according to God, is the place that He chose. For you who are in Bangkok or in Taiwan, how many choices do you have? You are a Christian. Where are you going to worship? Oh, that's a headache. Because there are too many. Which one is right? Which one suits you? Which one do you like? You are a lively person. Which one would you choose? Of course, you would choose a lively place. You're a quiet person. Oh, there's a quiet place of worship to go. You like music. There's also a good music, a good choir for you to listen to. It depends on your liking. Are we such Christians? It has to suit you? Or are you going to do things according to God's will? God still has to suit you. It's not that you obey His word. We are really very bold. We don't listen to Him, and yet we want Him to listen to us. It's the same way that we read the Bible. That's your view. I have my own viewpoint. That is your exposition of the Bible. I have my own exposition of the Bible. Then what? Have you not read 2 Peter chapter 1, the last passage there? The most important thing concerning prophecy, it's not for your private interpretation. Because God's word is spoken by man through the Holy Spirit. And how about us? You have your choice. You have your theology. I have mine, and he has his theology. And each one has his own perspective. And in the end, who can know God's word more clearly than God himself? Is your head clearer than God? It's good that we have the book of Hebrews. For the book of Hebrews, it's not mentioned who wrote it. It's a Holy Spirit speaking. It's a Holy Spirit speaking. That was spoken by the Holy Spirit. It's not man speaking. And up to the book of Revelation, our great high priest came down personally to speak. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Do you want to hear him? You say, I can't hear it. Then is the Holy Spirit deceiving you that the Bible is not right? Now, is it his problem or is it my problem? Revelation says, he who has an ear should hear what the Spirit says to the churches. No, I cannot hear it. Is it that the Holy Spirit has a problem? Perhaps the Lord Jesus was cheating me. We cannot hear what the Holy Spirit says. But whatever this man says, everyone can hear. Then what? Why can't we hear? Because we are all disobedient. We're rebellious. We're stiff-necked. Hebrews tells us, do not be like them, so stiff-necked, so rebellious, and disobedient to my word, and they do their own thing. If you hear my voice today, if you hear the Holy Spirit today, do not be so hardened as they were in those days. We all have this problem because we're all fallen people. We are not better than they. Not one of us is better than they. So, brothers and sisters, may the Lord have mercy on us. We have to confess before the Lord. We have to repent before the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't want my own choice. I want your choice. If we can be like that, be a person who seeks him, are you afraid that God would not speak to you? Actually, just from the word in the Bible, it's already very clear in many places. It's clear enough. Many times we explain the Bible, we expound on the Bible, and we explain God's Word away. Our own thoughts, our own views. When we insert our own views and our own thoughts into God's Word, it negates God's Word. Are you not fearful of doing this? That is why, if you want to read the Bible and yet you do not have an intimate relationship with God, then in the end, I don't know what you read out of the Word. If you are not ones that are pursuing sanctification, oftentimes we don't know where our thoughts go to. Even whatever Lei De Hua says to me, I might not understand it clearly. I would even misunderstand him. Tell me, won't you misunderstand God? In 2 Peter, Peter said, what Paul said is very hard to understand. So those people just twisted his word. They just explain it in a presumptuous way. Won't you do that? Won't I do that? If I'm not afraid of God, if I do not fear God, the Lord Jesus said, every idle word, you will be judged for every idle word you say. Isn't this more serious? If I speak God's word and I speak it in such a way I alter it, do you still dare to speak for others to hear? You yourself are wrong and you still want to lead others the wrong way. Do you not fear God? You say you fear God, you fear God. Where is your fear? You respect God, but you have no fear of Him. You just revere God outwardly, but with your heart, you do not fear Him. Isn't this what the Lord Jesus said? These people praise me with their mouths, but in their heart, they're far from me. That is why, brothers and sisters, we all know Jerusalem. Actually, it should be a place of peace. It's a city of peace. There should be peace in God's house, right? It's a harmonious place. But now, our situation today is that we're fighting. We're in battle. We're not fighting the enemy. We're not fighting the enemy, but that we are fighting one against another. I know no shame. In the internet today, you can see this, like a missile coming from this end and then shooting over to the other side. And you still say that you're Jerusalem? So where is Jerusalem? Did you ask the Lord? Where is the place that you chose, a place that you want? up until today. Not only can the Father not find the true worshippers, why can't he find them? Because he can't even find Jerusalem. Can you find a church that God is satisfied where it's the house of the living God? Brother Chu, how many years have you been searching? Say 8 years. Did you find it? No? Oh dear. But now the question is, are you seeking? Or do you say, forget it, hopeless, no such thing as a church, just go anywhere, it'll be okay. Is that okay? No. Why not? Because God's word says it cannot be. Then what? So you need to pray, bow your knees before the Lord and pray. And say, Lord, where is the church that you desire? Where is the place of your choice? You know, when the Israelites entered into the good land, for hundreds of years, nobody cared for it. Before the King David came around, nobody cared to look for the place. He said it over and over again, but nobody heard. Do you hear him? Can we hear it? Do we hear it? When we read the Bible, I don't know what you read out of the Bible. You read it, and then you do not know what the will of God is. I'm sorry. You read and read, and you are poisoned. May God forgive us and have mercy on us. When they first entered in, not one of them cared. Why did God say that at the time of David that he found a man after his heart? Because before David's time, there was not one person cared for what God's heart's desire was. It's very strange. All those people should have loved God, right? They've been reading God's word all the time. They read like the scribes. They read so much. They were poisoned to the extent that they wanted to kill the Messiah. Now how about today? Won't we be like this? In the end, after all the reading, nobody believes that God wants to build his church. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. So don't look anymore. Just find anyone. As long as you love the Lord, it's good enough. You sing some hymns, you have some prayers, have some fellowship. Amen. That's enough. Is that good?
不好吗？
Isn't that good? Are you satisfied?
You
are still very happy and very contented in your comfortable church life, even if there's no life there. You're used to it.
Do
you like such a condition?
Then
you need to ask our Father, does He like a church like of ours like that? You didn't ask? It doesn't matter whether you like it or not, but whether He likes it or not, that's the important thing. So Jerusalem, first of all, it's not according to man's choice. It's not whatever you like. That is why we have all types and kinds of different ones. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 8. Should not be doing what is right in your own eyes. It's not allowed.
And then,
do not do as the nations do. Do not use the worldly ways. Because the church is heavenly. You should not follow the customs and practices of the heathens. Lord Jesus. If this doesn't work, and that doesn't work, so what would work? One time, I think we were in Taiwan or in Longtan or somewhere, I forgot. We were fellowshipping about Psalm 147, that the Lord was building Jerusalem. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. And he takes no pleasure in what? In the legs of man. He doesn't want horsepower, he doesn't want the legs of men. Then I would ask, what do you want me to do? Manpower is the legs. The horsepower is the outward power. He doesn't want my strength. The outward power of the horse, he doesn't want it so either. So what does he want? Brother Lin, please help me. Is our glorious God, the triune God, the Father, Son, and Spirit, not sufficient for you? Is God not sufficient for you? You still need your power, your legs, and your legs are not enough, you still need the horsepower.
And
The Lord takes pleasure in those to fear Him. Because if you do not fear Him, you can do anything. God, the Lord, takes pleasure in those who depend on, who rely on Him. If you do not fear Him, there's no way for you to build. You think the strength of your legs very fast, very quick, but it won't be faster than the horse. The horses are faster, they're stronger. You read the Bible, you read the Bible, you read about something, you say, oh, right away I'll go do it. I have the strength, so I go do it. The Lord Jesus is not capable. The Lord Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of Himself. You and I do things of ourselves. Right? You're very capable. And I'm not stupid either. Let's do it together. And what does it look like? What's the outcome? The outcome, the result of our work would be judged by God. Brothers and sisters, in the Old Testament age, the Bible tells us concerning His temple, God was very strict. In the wilderness, He commanded Moses to build the tabernacle. It has to be exactly like the pattern you saw on the mount. Not one point could deviate from what from the pattern. Because where God wants to dwell, if you want to build a house, it will be according to whose. Why does it have to be according to you? Well, I'm the architect, so I am more capable than you are. Why don't you just go to sleep and I'll build it for you? How about that? No? Because you are the one who wants to live in it. Now, after the building is done, it doesn't pass your head. Then what are you going to do? You're not going to pay him. Not only that, he still has to compensate you, and he has to tear it down. If you would do this, don't you think God would do the same? He not only would do it, He would even lock you up. First Corinthians chapter 3 says, He would burn it with fire. And you, for you, it would be as if you would go through fire. Do you not fear God? Today, truly, we're not in fear of God.
We
even quarrel in the meeting. But you never thought that, oh, when you're fighting in the meeting, you're really bringing shame to the Lord's name. You know, when I just finished middle school in Manila, or finished high school, I saw them fighting at the meeting hall. I have not forgotten it up until today. That's why, brothers and sisters, in order to build God's temple, it has to be done fully according to God's will. Why was Moses called the most faithful servant in the Bible? In Hebrews chapter 3, it says, like Moses, the Lord Jesus was even more faithful than Moses. How was Moses faithful? He built the tabernacle fully according to the pattern he saw on the mount. What kind of materials was to be used? What colors? What's the form? What kind of materials? What wood? How? Each and everything was according to what God said. Now today, we built the church today according to what pattern are we building today? Who has a say? Is it man who has a say? Besides, we don't care for God, we just care for our flesh. It says, oh, just let it be, let him do it. You love God, and you love him, but don't you love God? You love him more than you love God. You listen to him, yet you do not listen to God. You're afraid to offend him, but you're not afraid of offending God. Because in the church, we do not have God as the center. We deviated. We changed. Became numb. Whatever God says does not count. Man's word would count more. If it turns out like that, do you think God would come and dwell in it? He doesn't want to go live there anymore. Do you think God would come and dwell there? Would God come and dwell in a church that's full of the flesh? Sister, would he do it? I don't think he would. God's word tells us if that place changed. Do not think that the Lord will not leave. You won't leave. But the Lord definitely will leave. This is what the Bible says. I already mentioned this morning, he left several times. May the Lord open our eyes. Because Jerusalem has much to do with worship God's way. If we talk about the worship and we don't talk about Jerusalem, where are you going to worship God? You just go find any other place. God's word said that this does not work. Now, since it doesn't work this way, then I have to ask, oh Lord, oh Father, where is it? That is why at the time of David, wanted to build. The Bible tells us in Chronicles, the Holy Spirit and all the blueprint, the revelation was
given.
I said several times, Solomon was such an intelligent person. God does not want to use his wisdom to build Solomon's wisdom to build the temple. Perhaps God was afraid that he was too wise. And he is not as faithful as his father. That is why the Holy Spirit showed all the detailed blueprint to David. And then David taught his son. It's the same principle once again, that it had to be fully done according to the blueprint. Solomon could write Psalm 127. The Lord has not built. The builder builds in vain. They labor in vain. God will not accept it. This is serious. When the Lord comes again, Ezekiel once again displayed the blueprint for the building of the temple. I don't know if you have read it. And whether or not you have read it in detail, it's too meaningful. That is why I guarantee you that God's building has to be absolutely done according to His will. Oh Lord, Jerusalem is not simple. If we just say today, one city, one church, yes, I agree. Another principle of Jerusalem is that God wants to preserve the oneness of his people. But in the Bible, it shows us what kind of a oneness it is. It's not good enough if it's just one, because the society is also one. There are all kinds of oneness in the world. Our oneness should be the heavenly ones. Otherwise, what kind of oneness are you keeping? Is it that I am one with you, that the two of us will not be fighting, and that's our oneness? What kind of oneness are we keeping? What, do you want with the ministry? Have to be one with a certain person's ministry? Even though the elder may be wrong, I still have to be one. If wrong and wrong and wrong again, and still we need to keep the oneness. Someone told me in Taiwan, someone told him, he says, no matter how wrong you are, as long you are one, then you're right. He says, no matter how many wrongs there are, as long as you are together, you're in oneness, then it's right. No matter how right you are, you may be right thousands of times, but if you divide, it's wrong. I said, I didn't read such a thing in the Bible. What kind of strange oneness of the devil? What kind of oneness are we keeping? Although we're wrong, we still want to be one. We are rebelling against God and we still want to be one. You're messing around and you still want to keep that oneness? I'm really afraid of that kind of oneness. You're expressing the flesh and you still want to be one? What kind of oneness are we keeping? You have to run away instead of keeping such a oneness. The Lord does not want us to keep that kind of a oneness. The Lord said in John chapter 17 that our oneness is like He is in the Father and the Father is in Him. That kind of oneness is not man-made. The Lord said that we also may be one in Him. Only that oneness is truly the oneness in the Spirit. Like Paul said, it's a oneness of the Spirit. It's the oneness of the triune God. Did you see the Lord Jesus fighting with the Father? No, because He is living in the Father, and the Father is dwelling in Him. Such a oneness cannot be done by man. We have to enter into Him. We have to be baptized into Him. That's why you say one city, one church. It's one city, one. What kind of a church? You have to see what kind of a church it is. Oh, Lord. I'm sorry.
我不是批评,
I'm not criticizing.
因为我知道很多人相信这个异地异会也都跑出来了，错了要留在。Because
I know that many people believe in this one city, one church, and even if something's wrong, they don't dare to run away. In the end, the so-called ground becomes your prison. You're locked in there. Then what? Around 1947-48, Watchman Nee spoke up concerning the ground of the church. Something a little different than what he said in 1937. He said the first point, the ground of the church is the authority of the Holy Spirit. He used this phrase. The authority of the Holy Spirit is absolute. We all need to hear Him. Our Lord is the head of the church. He's the head. God set Him as head over all things. He said, the first point, that's the ground of the church. And then the second point is the boundary of the locality. But we threw away point number one. And it turns out that our ground is just one city, one church. As long as I'm in this place, it's right. Or I'm one city, one church, I am it. But who's the head? If he is the head, then to whom does this church belong? It's his. It will be one city, one church. Is that good? No. That's not good. It's not that simple. Because the ground is for the oneness. But it's not just any kind of oneness. If this oneness turns into a oneness with a man, in the end, it is wrong and it's corrupt and it's still one city, one church. Do you still want to stay there? If it's one city, one mafia group, are you still going to stay there? Oh, Lord Jesus. That is why we need to ask the Lord. We need to ask the Lord. The Lord Jesus said to the church in Ephesus, if you lose your first love, I will remove the lampstand from its place. If it's removed, is it still the church? It's no longer the church, but it's still that one city, one church. Then what? If you were in Ephesus, let's say, they don't listen to the Lord. The lampstand was removed. Then what are you going to do? Come out. Amen. Then what are you going to do when you come out?
That's good.
What are you going to do? You continue to be the true testimony. Otherwise, what are you going to do when you come out? If it becomes according to the principle of Babylon, he'll call you to come out. So this is Jerusalem, Lord Jesus. Let's quickly look at the second point, otherwise we cannot finish. Now in the New Testament age today, Jerusalem is heavenly, it's not earthly. It's heavenly. We don't have time. Let's just read one verse. Hebrews chapter 11. We will continue the fellowship tomorrow. I think it's worthwhile for we to take a look at this point. It's speaking about Abraham. At that time, Abraham already was brought to the land, his promise, the good land. But in verse 9 it says, by faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, like being a guest there, dwelling in tents. Why? Because that was not yet the real thing. It was just a type. So what was Abraham going to do? Verse 10 he said, for he waited for the city which has foundations. That's a heavenly Jerusalem. Whose builder and maker is God. God is the builder. He designed it. He's the architect. The heavenly Jerusalem was fully planned by God. Whose architect and builder is God. So you have to see who is building today. If it's you and I who are building, forget about it. If it's him who is building it, say amen. How often we have to tell the Lord, Lord, we are earthly. How can I, an earthly person, build something spiritual, something heavenly? Am I capable to do it? Hebrews says, God is the builder and he's the maker. Do you have the assurance that you can build heavenly Jerusalem? Do you?
Now,
Now, what we build, is it actually earthly or heavenly? Is it man-made or did God make? If he made it, how come it's such a big mess? We'll read one more verse and we'll close. Have some refreshments. I think everyone is too tired. Three sessions a day is too much. John saw the New Jerusalem, Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, coming out of the earth, growing out of the earth. Is this what your Bible says? No? Is my Bible wrong? Or I read the wrong thing? Read the wrong thing. The holy city, New Jerusalem, is coming down out of heaven from God. Now, what we build today, where does it come from? And from whom does it come? What is the source? I'll let you have some time to think about it. Let's pray and discuss this with the Lord. We'll fellowship concerning this tomorrow.